You are listening to Unbreakable. This podcast shines the light on family and domestic violence. We discuss the various forms of family and domestic violence, what it looks like, and we talk to the experts and survivors. Unbreakable is sponsored by DV Assist, a free counselling and web chat service for people living in regional, rural, and remote Western Australia. They support anyone experiencing family and domestic violence. Some of the content in this episode may be confronting or distressing. We would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians upon the land on which we record this podcast today and extend our respects to those listening on regional, rural and remote Western Australia. Family and domestic violence affects people from all walks of life. We understand men and LGBTIQA+ experience family and domestic violence. However, statistics show women are more overrepresented. For this purpose, in the podcast, we will refer to she when discussing people experiencing violence and he when discussing people who use violence.
Hi, we're Lisa and Lindsay, and today we're discussing sexual harassment and sexual assault in the workplace. In the last episode, we talked about the last taboo, where Jackie shared a story on sexual abuse and sexual assault. Today, we're expanding on this by exploring what sexual harassment looks like in the workplace, attitudes behind such behaviours in professional settings, and the changes that are happening to end such behaviours. If we look at the definition of the Human Rights Commission, they describe sexual harassment as: sexual harassment is an unwelcome sexual advance, unwelcome request for sexual favours, or an unwelcome conduct of sexual nature, which makes a person feel offended, humiliated, and/or intimidated, where a reasonable person would anticipate that reaction in the circumstances. So essentially, sexual harassment is anything that makes someone feel uncomfortable. So it could be comments or jokes about one's gender, sexual orientation, unwanted kissing or touching, showing sexual images which someone deems offensive, commenting on someone's body, leering at someone, say, staring at their breasts, requests for kisses, a date, sex acts or sex, and not taking no for an answer, sexual coercion or bargaining for a promotion or pay rise at work, may even end in sexual assault at the higher end of the spectrum. So sexual harassment dehumanizes, humiliates, embarrasses, disempowers, upsets, and often stresses out the person who's experiencing it. So our research from our watch has shown that young women aged 18 to 24 years are more likely to experience sexual harassment in the workplace. And this is followed by people of diverse sexual orientation. So research has shown that 65% of victims are women, and they have experienced sexual harassment from men who are more likely to perpetrate sexual harassment. Men are also more likely to perpetrate sexual harassment towards gender or sexually diverse people.
This podcast features strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome everyone to the 7th episode of our Unbreakable. So today we have Becky Felstead with us, host of the podcast The Resource. Becky is here to share her story of experiencing sexual harassment, how she dealt with her experiences, and Becky's work in advocating to end sexual harassment in the workplace and community. Thanks for joining us on Unbreakable.
Thank you for having me. How exciting.
So good to have you.
Isn't it? This has just might become my second home. So
you are welcome back anytime.
It feels only natural, you know, just move places.
Definitely, definitely. So we actually met Becky a few weeks back. She came and did a talk at our FDV Awareness Month for DV Assist. And, yeah, really Becky really inspired us and the team with her story. And so we've invited her back to share it with all of you on here, actually. So, Becky, let's get started. What actually led you to be an advocate of ending sexual harassment?
There were so many things. I think there was a lot of catalyst in the final point of me actually starting the podcast and then actually starting to speak about it. But having been a female most of my life, all of my life, and experiencing things in society, in the workplace, also having the discussions. I'm really very lucky with the people that I'm surrounded by because I get to have these discussions with those people. And it's just you only know what you know, and I assumed that everybody else was having those discussions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, experiencing abuse when I was a young woman, having it in, you know, in the family, and also experiencing harassment kind of at every turn, whether it was a workplace, whether it was going out socially, whether it was, you know, in all different capacities. And then I was in a workplace, experienced bullying in that workplace, and then ended up going into FIFO and experiencing kind of, what's the word? Grooming, in essence. It was like, it was a minor incident that happened up on site, but because of experiencing all these experiences previous, and knowing kind of what to look out for, something that minor, which was actually a fellow licking my neck, sounds major to a lot of people, and it sounds minor to other people, and that's the whole perception thing.
It's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
It depends on our own experiences and exposure.
Yeah, and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. So obviously that isn't acceptable in any capacity, but you go through life. And depending on what experiences you have, things become, you know, you start to allow things to happen, or see things that, you know, you let cross over the line. So, and we also had a peeping Tom on one of the sites that I was on. And so all these things were kind of popping up, and I was like, what are we actually doing about it? And this conversation didn't seem to be happening at the time.
Yes.
So I think that's where we resonate with, you know, where I resonate with you girls and with this company and with everybody who's advocating, is you have that innate fire in your, like that massive fire in your belly that you're like, I've got to do something about this.
Yes.
And first I took it upon myself and I was like, it's all, I've got to do something. I've got to save the world. But then kind of have realized in starting the podcast and in having this discussion that there are a lot of people who are willing and ready to make that change, who are putting things in place so that this,
I love that. I love how you said a few things there. One is around how these things just kept popping up, that it just kept coming on your radar and going, why aren't we talking about this? And I think that's a really important thing about the why aren't we talking about this, because largely when we look at family or domestic violence, but sexual harassment in this case, it's kind of, we can see that it's just swept under the rug, or it's laughed off, or it's just, we turn a blind eye. And I think now where there's more attention on it, and it's, hang on a minute, this isn't actually okay. How do we actually challenge this disrespect in the workplace or in the community?
Yeah. And it was like, there was a lot of, it definitely within my lifetime, within society, it was, you know, that's just the way it is. That's just, in my instance, I was, you know, harassed and abused by men. So I was just like, that's just the way it is. That's just, boys will be boys. That's just, you know, that's just the culture. Or there was an incident, I did have another incident when I was up on site of some people calling me over to a table saying, what would you do if I bent you over this table? And I'd been there for 2 weeks, and I told another colleague, and it was said, you know, well, that's just FIFO. That's just the way it is. Because they had become accustomed to it, and they had just started to become a part of the culture, and that was acceptable for them. And actually at that point I didn't report anything, I didn't say anything, and I started to adjust my own what I found acceptable. So it wasn't until a little while longer that I was in that culture and kind of saw that, you know, not everybody's like that. And it's FIFO and workplaces are a petri dish of society, aren't they? They're a reflection of how society is and what's acceptable within society. And it's only in 2022 that we're having this discussion, you know.
Yes, we're putting it more on the table.
Yeah, we're putting it more on the table, and it's being had at definitely at like executive level now.
Yes.
But only after really major things have happened and really major, like large findings have come with the FIFO inquiry, with, you know, everything that's happening. Obviously Grace Tame being Australian of the Year, Brittany Higgins in Parliament, and, you know, all of the key players, consent going into school, Charlotte, who's, you know, there's so much movement in it.
Yes.
That it's hard to ignore now.
That's right. And it's a shame that those events have to happen, but it's being able to speak publicly publicly gaining traction. I actually saw on your website part of the research on there, you were saying that it's actually only 17% of people actually report sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think there's so many reasons as to why that is, but it's you kind of mentioned culture. It's just that acceptable culture, and it breeds within a culture if no one kind of takes the lead to stop it.
Mm.
And that's from executive to just, you know, every employee, mm. but also community member.
Well, people just want to get on with, like, you know, they think, oh, this is going to take too long, or a previous, you know, something that's happened in their life previously, I told someone this didn't happen. So they've got a memory of that happening, mm-hmm. and they think that that's going to be the way it is. Or they've heard from somebody that has reported, or there are actually incidents where it gets absolutely swept under the rug. There's victim blaming with it, because that's the society we've been brought up in, I think. We're having this conversation the other day, talking about how young women have been let down as well as young men. There's huge gaps in education when it comes to consent and boundaries, but also, like, there's massive gaps in a lot of things, I think, that have compounded and led to where we are now. There's no one thing, you know, the yes. pornography culture that, you know, young men and young women have brought up in, and going, I'm all about sharing, like, but, you know, going into the whole concept of, we're not even taught in schools, you know, I wasn't when I was in school, of how to have a successful relationship, how to have, you know, beautiful sex, or how to have interaction, how to have sex without penetration, or how to interact with each other sexually,
yes.
in a way where you're communicating what you like and what they like, and enjoying the fact that you both want to be there. And it's not a part of this porn culture where it's, you know, without, you know, wham bam thank you ma'am, and
yes.
quickly get in, and it's this, you know, in quote passion, that's not passion. And and going into something even more graphic, I was listening to a podcast a couple of months ago, and I wasn't there, this wasn't my experience, but there was a young boy in a school who'd kind of put his hand up learning about sex and said, if I have sex with a woman and she's not enjoying it, will she just start to enjoy it if I keep going? And that's because they've watched pornography.
Yes.
And as young women, we've been taught to perform instead of, you know.
Yeah, I love what you're saying there. It's like a missing gap on the education, and our role models of what we're being exposed to is what we learn.
Mm.
But really, it's what I'm hearing here is it's equality.
Yeah.
It's having your needs are just as equal as my needs. How can we meet together? It's mm-hmm. not that top down. It's what I want, so you have to submit and just enjoy anyway. Yeah. And if we can look at that in all aspects of a relationship, not yeah. just the sexual component, but I love how you bring that up, because it is about equality and having those conversations around that.
Yeah, and even it being so, I don't have a partner at the moment, and I've been single in different kind of decades, and it's been really interesting having those interactions as I've become older. I even myself learning what I wanted and that it was okay to say no. I didn't have that, you know, that understanding when I was younger. So there were a lot of incidences where I was in these situations and I didn't want it to be, I wanted to be loved. I wanted to, you know, wanted it to end in a relationship. And I was in this misunderstanding and, you know, misguided kind of understanding that to have that, I would have sex with this person and it would almost certainly end in not, you know, because I was also brought up that men will, you know, only want sex, they only want one thing, and you know, from other people's experiences, and that the whole slut complex, and that there's even such a thing as a slut and slut shaming, and, you know, all of those.
So many elements, as you're saying, it's not just one factor,
it is
so many factors.
Yeah.
And so how important is it to you to advocate for change regarding sexual harassment in the workplace and the community?
I think I've realised as I've gotten older, and definitely in this process and in the conversations leading up to, you know, years leading up to where I am now and what I'm doing now, is that I've been given you know, a gift or given something that I will share openly and honestly, and there's actually nothing I can do about it. If you ask me a question, truth will come out of my mouth.
I love that. That's and the way to be.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, it's funny, when you start to lie, you've got to keep track of your lies. And I was like, I'm too tired for that. I can't do that.
That is tiring.
Yeah. So I think it's really important for me now. I've been given, you know, that there are some aspects, especially in this space, where people say things happen for you, not to you.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be really triggering for some people. You know, there's been violent, you know, if something violent's happened to you, it's okay not to think that that had to happen to you to get to where you are. Mm-hmm. There's a healthy balance of understanding that.
Yes.
But I do believe that, you know, things possibly for me personally may have happened in those ways, mm-hmm. for me to learn so that I can be in the position that I am now. And I think it's so important for me, and it's become my driver and my mission and my passion, because I don't want my nieces, my nephews, any of the kids that are growing up, any of our future generations to feel the uncertainty that I think I did as a young woman, and even being put in situations or questionable situations that you don't feel safe, so you go ahead with something because it's safer to say yes than it is to say no. I don't want that for my kids. Mm-hmm. I don't have any kids, but I would like to have children, and I want it to be a safer place for them. And I think something I spoke about on our podcast as well was that there's so many hurt people. Mm-hmm. Our whole society is built of, there is so much abuse and assault. Harassment is obviously not as bad as assault and abuse, but it's like a gateway. So it's, you can see somebody's, and hoping that people, once they know better, they can do better. So not saying that if you're harassing somebody, you're going to be somebody who does that. But the world and society, I think, is made up of so much hurt. And from hurt, the people who are doing that hurting finally realizing that maybe they caused hurt. There's so much guilt, shame, blame and judgment. I just don't think great things come from that place. So it's important for me to show compassion for everybody involved, and we had this conversation talking about it as the offender as well as somebody who's a survivor.
Yes.
To kind of give love, compassion and empathy to meet everybody where they're at.
I love that, because I think that's where change can happen, is when we look at the behavior as separate to the self. It's not shaming or blaming. It's taking accountability and responsibility and finding that drive to change. And I like how you said, once we know better, we can do better. And I think that's what really stood out to me about your talk when you came a few weeks back. It was that compassionate approach, taking in a compassionate approach to change and having these conversations. Mm-hmm. Just like victim blaming doesn't help, people who use violence blaming doesn't help either. It's how do we get away from the blame to learning and growing together.
Exactly. And it almost doesn't matter what has happened. It's kind of giving people, not everyone, there's some really horrible things that have happened, but it's giving the people who have the ability to change, getting them to take responsibility. It's not your fault. There's other things that might have led to that point, but it is your responsibility now to make change.
Mm.
And giving them 100% of responsibility. I read a book talking about how sometimes in instances, if something, you know, say you and I were to have an argument, in society as it stands now, there's 100% of responsibility that has to be taken. So you take 50 and I take 50, where in actual fact, every person has 100% responsibility to take. And unless you're taking that 100% responsibility, we can't really make change.
That's, I can really see that. It's being all into that change process and sitting with that. So why, I think we touched on this a little bit, but why is sexual harassment an important issue to discuss as a community?
I think going back to speaking about that, hurt people hurt people. There's a community, society, the whole world in every capacity, whether we're in an affluent place like Perth in Australia, shit things have happened. Or if you're in a country, you know, a developing country, you know, shit things are happening. So I think it's important for us all to have the conversation so that we can have a better world. I have this goal with the podcast that one day down the track we're having this conversation on here, and it's, you know, new, and, you know, people have been having it for a lot of years, but it hasn't been mainstream.
Yes.
And it'll be so nice that this podcast that I've created and you've created, that one day we look back and go, oh, remember that time when we had to have a podcast to literally talk about this? Or
yes,
remember when people were literally tuning into your podcast to listen and learn about experiences? And down the track, it would be so nice that that was something that we looked back on and went, wow, so how have we grown? Look at us go.
I love that. It's that down the track we look back and go, it's not a taboo topic. It's actually something that we're all comfortable with raising if we don't feel comfortable, whether it be the workplace, a friendship, a romantic relationship. It's calling out disrespect and sexual harassment, but also that it's not actually happening. Wouldn't that be a great vision to that work
people,
towards?
Yeah, that there's bystanders, that there's people feel, they don't even say I'm an active bystander. They're like, I'm a human being.
Yes.
And, you know, hey, that's happening. And the person who, you know, down the track, the person who's doing, oh, I didn't realise that. Sorry, like, are you okay? That's a goal.
Yes, part of the culture. Yeah. Exactly.
It becomes kind of table talk and when, you know, the being comfortable and the uncomfortable. And I think as well something really important to bring up in the conversation that seems to be popping up as well when I'm speaking about this is, and can be controversial, being a white cisgendered male in this society right now is a challenging place to be. Like, I know being a woman in an oppressed group, you know, like being a woman of colour, there's been a lot of shit go down for centuries. And I think men are feeling the brunt of the decisions of their forefathers at the moment. And I feel for them, because if you take that on board, that it's your fault and that people are saying that it's you who've done this, then we're not going to make progress and we're not going to make change. Having the understanding that it's not, we're not saying that it's you who's got us into this mess. We're not saying it's your fault and that was, you know, things that you have done. Maybe you've made some judgment, like error judgments, but it's all of our responsibility. And as a, you know, like a white cisgendered male at the moment, taking back not taking it personally and understanding that your part to play is really powerful and beautiful in this process, and putting your hand up and saying, look, yeah, other people have not made the wisest decisions, but I'm willing and ready to make change, and it's going to be uncomfortable. So, yeah, that conversation keeps on coming up.
And so what are you doing in that space? I know you spoke about the podcast that you have, and I'd love to hear more about that, but what are you currently doing in the community to address this issue?
I think like yourself and like DV Assist, simply having the conversation is so beneficial. And I think I didn't realize that when I first started talking about it. Simply by wearing the hat of somebody who's speaking about it, people would automatically, I think we had the conversation, you go to dinners and people might know what you do, and they're willing and ready to have that conversation. So simply, for me, the most important part of what I'm doing is having the conversation and giving people the tools, the knowledge and the comfort to know and start these conversations. The podcast, because it's free, it's easily accessible and people can listen without, you know, like they can feel judgment and hurt and they can feel whatever they want into the comfort of their own home without feeling, without shutting it off, like having a conversation with someone if they're not quite ready.
Yeah.
I think as well, yeah, simply just having those conversations is people will do anything to feel comfortable. People will do anything to feel comfortable. Anything. So giving them those tools, I think conversation has become quite exclusive, where if you don't know everything there is to know about everything, then someone might possibly, depending on who you're having that conversation with, might shut you down and say you're wrong. Where I think most people are willing, but if they're not quite right or say they don't have all the information, that they want to learn so that they can have those conversations instead of being shut down.
Yeah.
So the podcast, the purpose of the podcast, and I'm sure the purpose of this podcast, is to give people conversation starters and give people statistics, give people lived experience from somebody else so they can say, yeah, this is actually happening. And then also in sharing my story, as uncomfortable it was at the beginning, realizing that how some people don't even realize that harassment is happening. Some people don't even realize that abuse or assault is happening because they haven't seen it previously before. Mm. So all of us sharing our stories, and also if you don't want to share a story, that's absolutely fine. But if you're in a position where you're okay to share your story, simply for people to see the magnitude of how many people have been affected by it is powerful in itself. And on that, as so I go and facilitate and share on in corporate situations, in workplaces, up on site, in the capacity of I've been doing, you know, little mini lunch and learns where it's having that conversation, being a bystander and recognizing toxic culture or gaslighting. And then that can lead on to sharing my story in a larger capacity, because I don't just have, I share three incidents that's happened a lot of the time, but there are far more. So yeah, just choosing which story is best to share with someone, but also listening.
Yes, listening and learning from those there. But you've mentioned so many important things there. It's like really one thing that stood out as well is just education. You know, when we know better, we can do better. So really what I'm hearing is that you going out there, having the conversation starts to pull it behind closed doors, starts to allow as a group to sit with that uncomfortable feeling, because you're leading the way in that. It's saying it's okay to feel uncomfortable, because we know from change it feels uncomfortable, but then at the other end it feels so good. It's that difficult process.
Yeah.
But also your story, and I think more people that share their story, it does raise so much awareness, and it can plant those seeds for some people to go, that kind of happened for me. Maybe it is that, or maybe I should talk to someone about that. So it's sharing that, yeah, that awareness. We're pulling out behind closed doors again and going, let's talk about this as a collective so that we can move towards change, but also what's acceptable and not.
And understanding that, collectively, and going, oh, okay, and being comfortable to ask the question if you're, you know, with a lot of things, people know what is acceptable and what isn't. But then other things, just learning, and even doing, pardon me, doing the podcast, learning, you know, unwanted advances, unwanted sexual advances, unwanted, and understanding the difference between that and harassment. And the difference between that is a conversation and somebody's boundaries and saying, I'm not enjoying that. No, I don't want to go on a date with you. Thank you for asking me, but I don't want to go on a date with you. You're actually making me feel uncomfortable, and being okay with feeling uncomfortable. Saying that as a young woman, when literally your stature is different to somebody who's pursuing you, you'll do things to be safe. So in some instances, that's not a safe place to be. But I think strength in numbers and safety in numbers, knowing that you've got a workplace that supports you in that, or if you've got friends or if you've got people around you, if we know that society is on board with being a bystander, then we're going to be more inclined to say those things.
Yes, it's multiple approaches, and it's creating a safe community, safe workplace to actually speak up and set boundaries, and that there's no repercussions for that. And if there is repercussions, that others around us actually help to shape that response as well. And that's why I can hear that bystander. We're on the same page about that.
Yeah.
So important that community can make so much change. Just saying something or turning away or not engage, not, you know, just doing something can really help to really diffuse and say that that's not okay in a compassionate way.
Yeah. And I think as well, have this conversation, people sometimes, if they don't know me, they don't know my stance on it, they don't know I'm coming at it with empathy and compassion, or they don't quite understand it. They just see me talking about assault and, you know, in that capacity. They think, you know, not here's the fun police because assault is fun, but they misinterpret that with sex, that I'm anti that. I'm actually all for that. I'm all for liberation and empowerment on both in both parties. I would love, not free love, we're not going back to, but also, yes, because I feel like, in those places, you can communicate your boundaries and communicate what you like. So it's about giving people the skills, the ability, the conversation to have better interactions so that they're having deeper connections and better relationships. And if you choose that you aren't somebody who's monogamous, if you choose that, or let's say it's like anything, you didn't choose it, that's something that it's your preference that has been with you probably for life, knowing that you're going to be safe in that, you're not going to be judged in that, and that you can actively take part in things knowing that you're going to be safe without judgment is the goal down the track. And I think religion hasn't done this. People have done this who have said that it's on the basis of religion, but there's a lot, you know, like when it comes to the Bible, has been misinterpreted. It is a beautiful book that has been misinterpreted by people. And when it comes to sexuality and when it comes to sex in general, or when it comes to showing up as a human, it's been misinterpreted. And I hope that down the track we see that and we allow ourselves just to be who we are in whatever capacity.
Being who we are and just that equality, having respect both ways, and just having that safety to communicate boundaries. I think that's what is really resonating here from what you've said. It's really around the ability to set boundaries and those boundaries be respected both ways. So you've touched on the podcast. So it's called The Resource. And where can people find your podcast?
So you can find my podcast on all the platforms. So Apple, Spotify, on there, and then I'll be going YouTube down the track. So it's not visual at the moment, but it's on all the podcast platforms.
So we've got a number of platforms. How about getting in touch with you?
So you can get me on. I'm on socials. So Becky Felsted on Instagram, Becky May Felsted on Facebook, but email Becky@BeckyFelsted.com, and LinkedIn Becky Felsted. So I'm on all of those platforms. If you want to reach out and get in touch and have a conversation, share your story. You know, if there's anything that resonates with what I'm speaking about, then definitely reach out. I do love people.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My absolute pleasure. We could talk for hours.
We totally could. Until next time.
Yeah.
Your experiences today with us, Becky, it's been a privilege to have you on here. So this brings us to the question, what drives sexual harassment? Well, as we've heard many times, sexual harassment is a social problem. Stopping it is not just about the behaviour of the individuals, but about changing the culture and environment of the workplaces in which it occurs. So evidence has shown that violence against women is more likely to occur when power, opportunities and resources are not shared equally between men and women, and when women are not valued and respected as much as men. Our watch states gender inequality is what lies beneath the surface, driving violence against women, highlights disrespect of women, sexist jokes, unequal pay, harmful gender stereotypes, and sexist language. So sexual harassment in the workplace is often based on power and misogyny and are designed to exploit a person's weakness. In many cases, women and sexuality and gender diverse people are more likely to experience sexual harassment. So for many people experiencing this, they often find it's difficult to report, as many view victims as being overly sensitive, not that serious as it wasn't violent, and victims of trauma as often discounted. There are some serious effects of sexual harassment, however, and these are prevalent in the workplace. And some of these include financial and social costs, increased personal leave or absenteeism, decrease in production, poor staff morale, increase in staff turnover, and decreased profits for the business. And for the person experiencing sexual harassment, they also may have some long-lasting effects on their emotional and psychological well-being. And these include anxiety and panic attacks, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, low self-esteem, low self-confidence, poor psychological well-being, the inability to trust others, affect personal and professional relationships, and doubt their professional capabilities. So, how can you be a part of the change? We encourage anyone that sees sexual harassment in the workplace to please stand up and say something. Either call out the person doing this, or if you don't feel comfortable in doing so, please make a formal complaint. Everyone has the right to go to work and feel safe. The Fair Work Act states the employees, volunteers, contractors, and subcontractors are protected from sexual harassment in the workplace. However, as we know, it is not always that easy. If you are experiencing sexual harassment at work, we encourage you to talk to someone you trust, such as a manager, co-worker, friend, family member, or a counsellor. You are not alone, and there are people always ready to listen. Thank you, Becky, for joining us today and shining a light on this very important topic. On another note, it'll also be Lindsay's last podcast for a while as she's going on maternity leave. So congratulations, Lindsay. It has been an absolute pleasure working with you on this project. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and that you have been listening to Lisa and Lindsay. And no matter what, they will not break me.
We acknowledge the duration of our podcasts are short and only provide a snapshot of the complex and sensitive topic being discussed. If this content has been upsetting or distressing, recommended support services include DV Assist on 1800 080 083, 1800 Respect on 1800 737 732, or Lifeline on 13 11 14. Visit our website for a range of information and support at www.dvassist.org.au. If you would like to suggest a topic or share your story, please contact us at community@dvassist.org.au. If you have any feedback about this episode, please email us at community@dvassist.org.au. See you next time.